up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down the branches off the trees, and swathed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, ye everlasting door.
Open wide your hearts and greet the coming of the Lord.
Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. 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 Glory, Lord.
Blood falling down to the ground. This man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha.
where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he says. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with great fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Crown him the risen King.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and lift us in Christ is risen, Christ is risen. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1145. We will be reading Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came upon the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Blessed is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the historical record you have given us in the Scriptures of the things that we must know in order to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As believers, we see the necessity of his resurrection and how it affects us personally. How great is your grace and your mercy and your love. We pray for those who remain in unbelief that they may also recognize how great was your cost in giving us your Son, and that his life, death, and resurrection has been counted as ours when we come to believe and trust in him for such a great salvation. Not to us, but to you alone, our God, be the glory. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and guide him as he comes now to teach from your word the great truths of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Bless us here also, and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may rejoice that we have such a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The reading of God's Word. You do well, if you want to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Page 1145, if you use the Bible that we have placed on the pew. These are the scriptures, verse 5 and 6, that I will use for our meditation in this wonderful day of celebration. The background to this scripture is a cemetery. Many times I get to preach, and the historical background of the scripture is a cemetery. But the background of this scripture is a cemetery. A friend has died. So some of his friends bring spices to the sepulcher according to the Hebrew custom. And if you look in your Bible in chapter 23 rather than 24, in verse 50, to 56, you get a background of what historically is happening according to the Hebrew custom. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewn in a stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation of the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now this is the historical background as Dr. Luke, the evangelist, writes to us as a doctor writes with full detail. These women were no crazy. These women saw where the body of Christ was placed. That's what the record says. Now, an amazing thing happened. The body of their friend is gone. These two ladies looked to each other perplexed, like saying, and now what? Where do we go? What do we do next? What are we going to do about this? As they tried to put the pieces together, and these were Jewish ladies who were Orthodox and knew the law and knew what to do, as they tried to put the pieces of the puzzle together, they were confused. Now move your eyes to 24 of Luke and verse 5, the first line. They said, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces. Something is going on, they said, and we cannot put the puzzle together. As they were at the point of crush, a question is placed before them. A question that will unfold the mystery about their friend. Look at verse 5, the second section of the verse 5. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That question came right at the precise moment. That question came at the exact moment these two ladies need an answer. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why were they looking for his friends among the dead? That was a deeper question. Why these two Orthodox Jewish ladies were looking for Jesus among the dead? Why? Verse 6 gives us the answer. Look what verse 6 says. He is not here, but is risen. And now the key word. Remember. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee. Well, as we get older, we forget things. I tell you. I can't believe it myself. But my wife said, where do you put this? I give it to you 2 minutes ago. I don't know. So it took about a week before this event, if you have read the Gospels, that Jesus got all the people together, all his friends, and instructed them what's going to take place. And that's why verse 6 is so key. He said, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Why they were looking for the living among the dead, they forgot what Jesus told them. How many times we read the scripture, we forgot what we read, and then we panic for something. And now let me tell you the rest of this story as we're going to work in the Bible. For your convenience, because I want you to visualize the scripture, I'm going to give you the number reference in the Bible in the pew. Because I use a lot of scriptures in my sermon so that you see what I'm telling you. Because this is the only book that produces life. And if I do not use the scripture, then the Holy Spirit cannot work on it. So you are like in a class. But I tell you, it's so refreshing to look upon God's Word. Do you want to know why people are still today looking for Jesus among the dead? Simply, the story repeats. This story that happened 2,000 years ago repeats today. They do not know what the scripture says about Jesus. It was yesterday. I was alone in my favorite coffee shop, O. Henry's. Sitting on the place that I like it before people, I almost get people out of there when I walk over there. Because that's my place. I sit there on the window, watching my car, and nobody's stealing anything, and drinking a cup of coffee. And I was there enjoying working in some mathematical field. It was a long time I don't work in mathematics, so I got a computer and working in some mathematical equations. And some of it touched me. I was so involved in these mathematics, and I don't hear somebody coming. He said to Dr. Otero, what is Easter? Wow. Shake me all over. What's going on tomorrow? The person continues to say. A person was a foreigner from Asia, and I trying to quickly get my mind into the background of that person and into the background of the scripture to share. And I said, I have only one answer. In my car, I carry Bibles. I give my Bible away before he put the finger on me. He's just asking me if I give the Bible away. So I got my Bible, and I mark all the reference of what the scripture says about the blessed day where Jesus rose again. So this maybe is new for you, but it's no new for many of us. So let's look on it. May I ask you the question again? Why do you seek for Jesus among the dead? And the reason is why people seek for Jesus among science, among philosophy, and among mysteries. The reason why the TV is so involved, have you seen the TV? Where is Christianity? Where is Jesus? And they look in the dead places rather than looking in the living place, which is the Bible. That's a problem. They never can find it. So then, let's look in the Bible, Jesus and the resurrection. I'm going to present to you four evidence of the resurrection about Jesus. Number one, the prophecies of the Old Testament. The Bible is divided in two sections, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Bible uses the word Testament, but it's a covenant of God, and the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Let's look in the Old Testament and move your Bible to Psalm 16, verse 9 and 10, page 642. Psalm 16, and we'll look in verse 9 and in verse 10. Here's a prophecy of the Old Testament. Look carefully, all right? Here's the prophecy. Therefore, my heart is glad. King David is writing. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, here is a man, 6,000 years before Christ, believing the resurrection. Verse 10. For thou, he's talking to God, will not leave my soul in hell. You will not leave my personhood in hell. Neither will thou suffer, here is the key, the Holy One to see corruption. The Holy One is the Messiah. You will not suffer the Messiah to decompose in his body. All right? Let's see the fulfillment. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, page 1248. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, page 1248. Look at what the scripture said. Paul, a man who had a PhD from Tarsus. Paul has two PhDs. He listed his degrees, has masters and PhDs in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, and he said, I speak in my flesh. And then look at what he says in chapter 3 of Colossians, and then verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, where is Christ today? Here it is. Where Christ seated on the right hand of God. So if you're looking for Christ in the book of science, you never find it. It's not there. If you're looking for Christ in a movie, you can't find it. He's not there. If you're looking for Christ in any place except in heaven, he is not there. He's at the right hand of God, said the scripture. All right? Now, let's go to another prophecy familiar with many people. This is in Isaiah chapter 53, page 809. Isaiah chapter 53, famous chapter, most of the American people know this chapter, all right? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 to 12. Very important scripture. So I'm going to read it for you, verses 7 to 12, a prophecy about the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53, page 809. Talking about the Messiah and his last days, Isaiah prophesied. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was striken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleases the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Maybe you have read that scripture many times, and you wonder. Now, there is a great fellow, he was secretary of treasury of a big country, today is Saudi Arabia, who wondered about this. Move your Bible to the book of Acts, in chapter 8, please. Page 1191. Book of Acts in chapter 8. Here is a young fellow who was coming. He went to see the festival, the Jewish festival of the Passover. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 30 to 35 or so, I want to read it for you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Here is a man completely foreign to the affairs of Israel. He's from Saudi Arabia. He went to see what's going on. And look at what happened. He just got a manuscript. He must be very wealthy. Only wealthy people have manuscripts at that time. There were few. They were written by hand. And he got a manuscript. And he has a beautiful Cadillac open ceiling. And he's going slowly. And the deacon of the church, Jerusalem, Philip, was jogging. Are you jogging the morning? He was jogging around. And he drove so fast, he matched the car, and they both are going together. I start reading now this story, verse 30. And Philip ran tighter to him, and hearing him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what you read? And look at verse 31, and he said, how can I? He said, some man shall guide me. And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he was, he read was, here is the scripture that we read just a few minutes ago. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, this man who was the secretary of treasury, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? What's going on? What the scripture said? Now, that's a fair question. If you ever have a question like that, it's absolutely fair. What the scripture is talking about. Not what I'm talking about, not what somebody's talking about, but what the scripture is talking about. Now, remember the scripture? It was Isaiah 53. Now, look at what a great deacon the church had at that time. Let's look to the next text, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the Roman Catholic Church code, the Baptist code. No, he preached unto him what? Jesus. So prophecy was fulfilled. What Isaiah spoke fit Jesus. You see that? The coordination of the scripture? The Old Testament is a revelation of the Messiah. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Messiah. And the two grow together and click together perfectly. And if you think it's not just give me a call, I specialize in puzzles. and I like to put things together, especially in the scripture. My radio broadcast eliminate my 3/4 of my preaching, but I tell you something. I'm going to do evidence number 2 because it's good. The appearance of Christ. The appearance of Christ. You go to your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, which is page 1252. 1 Corinthians 15. Page 1252. He appeared to the Apostle Peter, chapter 15 of Corinthians, in verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that is his Greek name, of Cephas, said the scripture, and of the 12. So he was seen by Cephas. Then the Bible tells me, in verse 6, that 500 disciples saw him. Look at verse 6. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some of these people die, but the others are alive. Why ABC don't went and ask them the question? You see that the media today is bad. It was bad then. Why the media don't went and say, hey, can I have a report from you? Do you really saw Jesus? Nobody did that. Also, the scripture says that his half-brother James saw him. Look at in verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So here you have evidence number 2, the appearance of Christ. He appears to Peter, he appears to Paul, he appears to 500 people as a mass. So Christ appeared after the resurrection. This is not a mystical doctrine. This is not a fabrication of these Jewish people. This is the reality of what really took place. Now, I'm going to give you evidence number 3, the testimony of the apostles. And I choose one who... to me, I admire for his studies, the Apostle Paul. He has a diploma from Gamaliel. He's a philosopher of Asia Minor. He knows what he said. It took 15 years for the Apostle Paul to get together to know what Christ really said. That's in Galatians. He spent 15 years in Arabia studying the manuscripts to know what he says. And maybe you heard about this word, the gospel. Now, I'm going to explain it to you. You are in 1 Corinthians 15. All right, you are right. Now, I'm going to explain the testimony of the Apostle Paul under the word of the gospel, verses 1 to 4. Look at what the Bible says. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. That our word gospel, if I tell you what the Greek word means, means good news, doesn't make sense to you, but very soon you're going to see what the gospel really means. Now remember that. He said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That's what every believer should speak first. To anybody. The gospel. You may wonder what it is. I'm going to give you the answer. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved. Now the King James had the word if, should be the word sins. Since ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first, verse 3, of all, that which I also received. So when people talk to Paul, remember Ananias? A common guy from a town. Can you imagine a simple guy talking to a professor? And God said to this Ananias, go and talk to him. Remember the argument in the book of Acts? Ananias said, no, me, Lord, you know who is he? And God said, you tell him what you believe. He's not telling what you believe. Don't go into philosophy. Just tell him what you believe. Well, what did Ananias said? Look at what verse 3 said. For I deliver unto you first of all, which also I receive. So the first thing the Ananias said is, the Messiah has come and have rose for your heart. The Messiah had come and died for your sin. That's the person Ananias said to him. And he said, if they told me first that, I'm going to tell you. Now, what is it? Here in verse 3 and 4, he explained. Here's the gospel. How that Christ, now remember the word Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. How the Messiah died for our sins. For our sins. Yours too. For our sins. According to the scripture. And mine too. The Messiah did not what he wants to. He did what the Bible says. He died according to the scripture. Second, he was buried. And remember that we read that Joseph of Arimathea put him in a brand new tomb? Alright? He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. That is clear as can be. He, the testimony of the Apostle Paul is this. Christ came. He died and he rose again, and I believe it. As a person, I believe. This is no study on doctrine. This is no study on philosophy. This is the thing you need to know in order to go to heaven. Not only you need to know, you need to believe. Evidence number 4 is the empty tomb. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, page 1145. Gospel of Luke chapter 24, page 11 and 25. And look in verse 3. Remember, the background of Scripture is a cemetery. The ladies go to the cemetery. And verse 3 in Luke Gospel 24 says, and they enter in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? They move the little door from the tomb. They look inside and it's not the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb is empty. Now some people told me, you know how women talk. They talk all the time. That's what people said to me. It's not me saying, all right. I have to go home. All right. So, you know, women talk. They maybe see things that are not there. People say that about women. They forgot their mother was a woman. All right. Now, here is what it is. That's what people said. Now, would the genius John, the lover of all, have you ever read and once sit down, letter 1, letter 2, and letter 3 in the Bible of John? Man, that man really is something. Would Peter, the one who observed everything and comments everything, believe that? Well, let's see it. Let's see Peter. So the tomb, John chapter 2. And the next book you are in, Luke, the next book is the book of John. If you are in there, and it's in page 1177, John chapter 20 and verse 6 and 7. Look at what the scripture says. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, and see the linen cloth lie, and the napkin, or the face clothing, that was about his head, not lying with a linen cloth, but folded up together in a place itself. So Peter saw that the body was no there. Now, what about John? Look at verse 8. Then went in also the other disciple. Peter and John, if you follow this story, were running to the sepulcher. He went to the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and there is an extra "and." And he saw and believed. What do you need to do in order to stop looking for Jesus among the dead? Whether it is in television, in science, in philosophy, what do you need to do? You need to do what John did. Look at them, verse 8. You need to do what John did. He saw and believed. My friend, I meet a lot of genius who knows, I meet a lot of lawyers who knows the book of Romans because it was written for lawyers. I meet a lot of people who say, oh no, I see the scripture. That's a big difference, seeing the scripture and believing the scripture. My friend, don't let this day of the resurrection in the year 2007 pass by and said to me, "Oh, I see. Please see it and believe it. That will make the difference of your entire life." I'm not asking you to be a Baptist or a Roman Catholic or a Buddha. I'm asking you to see what God said and believe what God said. And then you will be a different person. I guarantee it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the joy that comes when we know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the joy of the scripture, so clear, so in simplicity, unfolding the history in a way for us to see. But Father, I was impressed by the writing in that verse 8. When the Bible said that John now came to a conclusion, this happened, Jesus is not here. And he believed what Jesus told him. Lord, many of us believe what this book, the Bible, said about Jesus and about ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you will use this scripture to stir up the hearts of many, and that they will call me in and trying to search deep in the scripture to see how they stand before this. Lord, resurrection makes all the difference in the world. We are saved by this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, we will meet him on the air. Oh, Father, thank you that you cause us to believe. I pray that you will be sharing your mercy with many here today, perhaps over the air, so that people may believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This Easter Sunday, we honor you. We rejoice in you. And we are so happy that many of us know the Messiah as Christ. Not only we know the Messiah of Israel, the blessed Messiah, but now we know the Christ, who came not as man thought to be a leader, a political leader, but a spiritual leader. And he gave his life. And what amazed me, oh Father, is that he was accepted. And now because he was accepted, the Bible tells us that we are accepted in the Beloved. Oh Father, give us a mind to understand and a heart to believe so that we may rejoice forevermore and one day meet with him. Bless our people, bless our families, that today may they remember the beauty of Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen.